Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, for conclusion of perfection renunciation, text number 1. Arjuna Vacha, Sanyasyasya Mahabaho, Tatvamichami Veditum, Tyagyasya Charishikesha, Pritakeshi Nishudana. Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna said, Sanyasasya, a renunciation. Mahabaho, Almighty Armed One. Tadvam, the truth. Ichchami, I wish. Veditum, to understand. Tyagyasya, of renunciation. Cha, also. Rishikesha, O master of the senses. Pritak, differently. Keshi Nishudana, O killer of the Keshi demon. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna said, Almighty Armed One, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyag, and the renouncer of life, sannyas, O killer of the Keshi demon, master of the senses. Purport. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics discussed before. In every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stresses the devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. The same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. In the first 6 chapters, stress was given to devotional service, yoginam api sarvesham. And of all yogis or transcendentalists, one who always thinks to me within himself is best. In the next 6 chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. In the 3rd 6 chapters, knowledge, renunciation, the activities of material nature and transcendental nature, and devotional service were described. It was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, represented by the words Om Tat Sat, which indicate Vishnu, the Supreme Person. The 3rd part of Bhagavad Gita has shown that devotional service and nothing else is the ultimate purpose of life. This has been established by citing past acharyas and the Brahma Sutra, the Vedanta Sutra. Certain impersonalists consider themselves to have a monopoly on the knowledge of Vedanta Sutra, but actually the Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding devotional service. The Lord Himself is the compiler of Vedanta Sutra, and He is its knower. That is described in the 15th chapter. In every scripture, every Veda, devotional service is the objective. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. As in the 2nd chapter, a synopsis, the whole subject matter was described. In the 18th chapter, also the summary of all instruction is given. The purpose of life is indicated to be renunciation and attainment of the transcendental position above the 3 modes of material nature. Material modes of nature. Arjuna wants to clarify the 2 distinct subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, namely renunciation, tyaga, and the renouncer of life, sannyas. Thus he is asking the meaning of these 2 words. 2 words used in this verse to address the Supreme Lord, Rishikesh and Keshi Nishudana, are significant. Rishikesh is Krishna, the master of all senses, who can always help us attain mental serenity. Arjuna requests him to summarize everything in such a way that we can remain equipoised. Yet he has some doubts. Doubts are always compared to demons, and he therefore addresses Krishna as Keshi Nishudana. K Keshi was the most formidable demon who was killed by the Lord. Now Arjuna is expecting Krishna to kill the demons of doubt. Arjuna vacha sanyasya mahabaho tatvamichami veditum tyagasya cha rishikesha prita keshi nishudana. Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyag, and the renouncer of life, sannyas, O killer of the Keshi demon, master of the senses. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasvatam Deve, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paska Dhyade Siddharane. As we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the idea of renunciation has different aspects. Those who are impersonalists, they think renunciation means to renounce the material world and try to merge in Brahman. Because you have to go somewhere. If you give something up, you have to get something in return. So they believe that what you get in return is you become one with Krishna's effulgence. They call that renunciation. So that's also the renunciation, but it's not complete renunciation. It's partial renunciation. Because actually complete renunciation is complete renunciation of the material concept of life. To think that I become the Supreme is also illusion. How can the tiny soul who is now struggling with the material nature somehow or another become the Supreme? If he was the Supreme, why is he struggling with material nature? Therefore, it's another illusion to think that I become the Supreme. Yeyan Ravindaksha Vimuktamani Nasvadasta Bhavat Avishuddha Buddhaya Aruya Krita Chena Param Padam Tada Padhanina Nadrita Yushmar Angrayaha. Those who have not taken to devotional service, the demigods pray, who have not accepted the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead as the Supreme, their intelligence is abuddha avishuddhaya. It's impure. They don't actually understand things properly. And therefore, although they may rise up to the Brahman conception of life, still it's only temporary, because they can't really find actual shelter in Brahman. It's rather pleasant for a few hundred trillion years. And then because the soul by nature wants variety, after a long time in the Brahmajyoti, one starts wondering, maybe there's something else. And therefore, generally, one comes back to the material world to look for some variety. But there's another complete renunciation, and that's the renunciation of the false ego that I can become the Supreme. So that's the hardest to give up. Everyone in the material world is imagining that there is something special, that somehow or another they're having a pastime here in which they're the center of attraction. And everyone is struggling to be the center in some ways. If we can't become the center amongst certain people, it's like people want to become very popular, they want to become wealthy, somehow or other they want to control the material nature. But the more one tries to control the material nature, the more the material nature controls us. As it is said, that Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhogavanchitare Nikatasta Tare Japatiyadare. That as soon as we forget Krishna, which is not that difficult for the conditioned soul, then Maya is standing right next to us and she puts us into the material concept of life. Now we're accustomed to being in the material concept of life, so we don't really take it that seriously. We have hopes for the future. We never imagine that material life is going to be any suffering, or we're going to have to die, or maybe have to take birth again and even that is a possibility in the lower species. We don't think about getting old. We're going to be young forever. And even if we hear about it, we say, well, that's right. We don't really accept it. It's just too difficult for the conditioned soul to take it too seriously. For most conditioned souls, they have no alternative but to try to squeeze some enjoyment out of this material existence. And for a devotee who's aspiring to become a devotee, it's just too difficult to completely understand how to sacrifice everything for a person you don't know that well. Therefore, it has to be a gradual process of hearing about reality, trying to see how we could apply that reality to our lives, especially in relationships. In Kali Yuga, everyone is more or less, because of the influence of the illusory energy, known in passion or ignorance, or perhaps really in goodness, can actually have any real relationships with anyone. They're all kind of phony. Phony in the sense that the relationships are based upon business. We say to each other, I love you, but actually we don't love anyone. Because we don't even know ourselves. We love ourselves. That's the only person we really love. And because we're in this body, and we're intimately connected with the body, we also love the body. And therefore we love the idea that my body can be taken care of, it can be loved, it can be served, it can be so many things. But in order to do that, I have to serve others, so I do it. So love in the material world is more or less a business relationship. So when Nrisingadeva asked Prahlada Maharaj, what kind of benediction can I give you? I can give you anything. He said, actually, I don't want to be a businessman. I'm not worshipping you as a vanak. Get some money from you. So get some benediction. Because actually, whenever I chant your holy name, Naiva Dwije Paradharatya Vaitaranyas Tvavirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitak Soche Vimukha Chaitasa Indriyartha Maya Sukhayam Bharam Udvato Vibhudan. That whenever I chant your glories, my mind merges into an ocean of pleasure, of happiness, actually spiritual love. And therefore, I'm completely overwhelmed with happiness. I don't need anything else. But I'm lamenting to see these poor rascals who are struggling very hard for nothing, really, creating a humbug civilization where they're working and they're getting exactly the opposite of what they're really trying to get. Instead of getting happiness, they're getting a lot of problems for the little bit of happiness that they're able to achieve here. Therefore, I'm trying to liberate them so they can go back to you and actually be really happy. So that's what Bhagavad Gita is trying to convince us. As a spiritual soul, it is our position to be always happy. But now because we're trying to become always happy in the material world, therefore we're doomed to be disappointed because it's not possible to be happy forever in the material world. Even Brahma, Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvarta Nojana Mamupetit Kunteya Punarjanma Navidite. From the highest planet down to the lowest, they're all places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains Maya Bodo Sanakunti never takes birth again. Mamu Petya Punarjanma, Dukaliam Ashasvatam, Nat Nuvanti Mahatmana, Samsidim Paramam Gachaha. So, that we can't understand until we get a higher taste. Until gradually we can give up our bad habits, or at least first we have to accept good things to do, like hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then give up some of our anxieties, the things that are holding us back from actually concentrating our minds upon Krishna. So we do that, and that way actually experience, we can develop some feeling towards Krishna and Krishna's devotees, then the result is we can actually experience transcendental bliss. And we're going to understand at least what the direction of my life should be. That if we just remain theoretically absorbed in so-called Krishna consciousness, that never experience happiness and bliss, either in the association of devotees or by thinking about Krishna, if we don't experience loving exchanges with either Krishna and his devotees, then of course then we have to settle for the less promising role of trying to be an enjoyer and controller in the material energy, according to our karma and capacity. So Krishna will explain in this 18th chapter how to renounce the material concept of life. And he'll emphasize something about the modes of nature, that we do have control. It's not just like either I surrender or I don't surrender. It's not generally so easy, because anyone who's in the material world would like it to be easy, in one sense, but then it would be very cheap. Krishna would be taken very cheaply, and we wouldn't really take Krishna that seriously. Therefore, Krishna wants to make sure that we become thoroughly convinced and thoroughly determined and thoroughly desirous of going back to him, because he doesn't want anyone to come back to the material world again. So therefore, the whole idea is to develop a desire to attain Krishna. And we can do that in so many different ways. But one of the ways Krishna will explain here, especially he'll explain about sacrifice, charity, and penance, as he did in the last section, but all according to the three modes of material nature. In other words, one thing we can do while we're trying to perform sadhana bhakti, we could try to act in the mode of goodness. Especially cleanliness and truthfulness, these are very important brahminical qualities, along with other things like equanimity, sense and mind control. Try to develop brahminical qualities so that we're able to think about Krishna without distraction, without hankering and lamentation, and without seeing others as something other than Krishna's eternal servants. So we have to develop that. And then the result is that we can think about Krishna much more consistently and much more with feeling, with intensity of feeling. So the process is there, wherever we're at now. If we try to understand what's my next step, how I have to improve, and we endeavor to make some improvement, then Krishna will help. Of course, the association of devotees is very good, is very important, because generally speaking, we're all convinced that we're almost perfect. The only thing is that people don't realize that we're perfect. That's the problem. So we have to understand, in the association of devotees, we have to actually become a little bit desirous of understanding how I can make progress, and it's not always in the way that we think is most desirable. The most bitter thing for the conditioned soul is to have his ego touched too hard. It's the thing we've protected since time immemorial most carefully, is our false ego. Therefore, a little bit of conviction that actually I'm a tiny soul, and I have to become tolerant, and I have to become appreciative, and I should not be so much anxious to become appreciated and glorified. Because whatever glorification, appreciation I get, it's not going to last forever. Because it's not even for me. It's for my tiny little body. And it's not even my body. It's a body that's being conducted either by the modes of nature or by Krishna and his energies, his transcendental energy. So if I'm being conducted by the modes of nature, everything I do is wrong. Everything I'm desiring is wrong. I don't deserve. The more people praise my materialistic activities, then the more trouble I'll get into. It doesn't matter what the mode is. It simply it ferments. It encourages me to stay in that particular mode. Even if it's goodness, then goodness, one has to come back again and enjoy the mode of goodness. Unfortunately, in the material world, the mode of goodness doesn't last very long. Nor in Kali Yuga is goodness very good. We have no idea what real goodness is. We think if we get up and we wash our hands before we eat, we're pure devotees. We made the highest sacrifice possible. We're definitely as good as Brihaspati or other demigods. So we have to be a little careful that to see that whether I'm actually feeling myself to be very important what I'm doing, or that I'm humbly executing my service in order to please Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under his guidance of his representatives as a humble servant. And therefore become tolerant, because the material world is not always so pleasant. As a matter of fact, if we think it's pleasant, then we're definitely an illusion. And don't worry, Maya will come along to solve that illusion very quickly. And at the same time, to actually try to appreciate how others are engaged, who are engaged in devotional service, are actually under this spiritual energy. It's not that one or two people in this world or 100 are under the spiritual energy. It is so nice that anyone who engages in devotional service, even if one chants Hare Krishna once, then he's engaged in the spiritual energy. So we should try to appreciate those who are consistently engaged in Krishna's service and try to serve them. There can't be any higher activity than serving the devotees of Krishna, because even Krishna is pleased by that. He's the most pleased. We can try to please Krishna directly, but he won't be so pleased as when we try to please his devotees. So that's the main thing we have to learn, because that's the spiritual world. That if one tries to please Krishna directly, he won't be pleased so much. If one tries to please him through Srimati Radharani, he'll be much more pleased. And if one tries to please him through Srimati Radharani's servants, then Srimati Radharani will be more pleased. And the more pleased she is, then the more pleased Krishna is, and the more successful our existence is. Anyhow, it's not easy for the conditioned soul to accept these things. In class we can, but when we walk outside, Maya will say, oh, come on, who takes it seriously? No one believes that philosophy. It's so complicated. How can I surrender to this philosophy? It's just too much. Maybe next lifetime. Or when I'm old, or I'm 99 years old, there's no choice. Then I'll surrender. Then, of course, I'll chant Hare Krishna with full devotion and ecstasy. And Krishna will immediately take me back, because I'm a nice devotee. No, we should be a little pessimistic about how nice we are. Otherwise, it's very difficult to make progress. The more we think we're nice, then the harder it is to make any progress, to become humble. Because in the spiritual world, everyone is absolutely humble. Everyone is in love with everyone else, and therefore, when you're in love with someone, they naturally become humble by such intense appreciation. So even Krishna is intensely appreciative of his devotees, so he's the humblest. And even humbler than him is Srimati Radharani. Therefore, there's always a competition who can be more loving and surrendered. So this renunciation is not giving up our material goods, although we should use them in Krishna's service. But it's really renunciation of this false concept that I'm something other than a tiny servant of Krishna and I need shelter at his lotus feet by following the process given to us by our acharyas. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, you mentioned truthfulness is very important as a rabbinical quality, and I was wondering what's the limit for truthfulness in Sankirtan or in preaching? What's some guideline?
Well, Prabhupada said if you understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, that Krishna is the enjoyer of everything, and Krishna is the friend of everyone, mostly if you try to give people these books in such a way that they don't become disappointed, but if you keep that in mind, that practically whatever you tell them is truthful. I mean, up to a limit, you can't tell them that if you take this book, then there's a card inside and you win $1 million. We don't want to disappoint people. At the same time, we tell people how great Krishna is, how great this book is. There's probably no limit to how we can glorify it. But we shouldn't tell that this is a story of Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, if you read the book, you know, Jesus Christ will come and appear before you in 10 days. No, it has to be a little realistic, too. Yes, any question?
Hare Krishna, thanks for the lecture. So the question is, there are young devotees that serve all their life, and there's also older people that join like at 50 or 60 and they get initiated. So what's the difference between somebody that served the whole life and somebody who's like, I don't know, in 10, 5 years maybe in the process, and after they leave the body, like, can they also get liberated even if they're like, I don't know, small time invested in the service?
Well, it depends what they did in their previous lifetimes. There's nothing to do with the number of years. Prabhupada said in the Bhagavad Gita, in the end of the second chapter, one can obtain divine life in one moment, but not after millions of years. It's only a question of understanding and accepting the fact. So it's not a question of just how old you are, it's a question of how convinced you are, how much serious you are. Dhruva Maharaj attained Krishna consciousness in 6 months, because he was so determined. So how can we judge? In any case, anyone who takes the devotional service, whenever they take to it, they'll be benefited, and they'll continue on in their next lifetime. So it's not a competition who can go to God, back to Godhead first, because there's limited room there. And if I get in before you, then I close the door and you're out. It's not like that. Everyone who's engaged in devotional service is making progress, and there's equal room for everyone. The space is unlimited. Anything else? Hvala, Grandaraj, my Bhagavad Gita, ki jai.